fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. Welcome to The Cale Clark Show. It's October the 7th, 2020. It's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And no doubt you probably heard that we had a wonderful Rosary for America earlier today on the network, led by Archbishop Jose Gomez, the Archbishop of Los Angeles. And what a wonderful day it is to celebrate this great gift of the Rosary. If you want to call in and talk about this, give me a shout. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. 1-888-914-9149. That's the studio line for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's a toll-free call, so take advantage. You can also tweet at me if you have a question about the Rosary or a comment about what you're going to hear today. Give me a shout on Twitter. At Cale Clark is my Twitter handle. Grab onto that, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We also have a show account, at Cale Clark Show. And if you go onto the show account and follow that show account, you're going to see an interesting poll that we just put up. Our producer, Lucas Holt, has put up this poll. And we're asking the question, which do you pray most often? The Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, something else perhaps. Is there a fourth choice, Lucas, or is that it?
That's it. We got the Rosary, the Chaplet, both, or other.
Oh,
other
both. That was the other thing. Like, yeah, I thought there was a fourth thing. Yeah. So we have. What are the stats looking like right now, Lucas? What are the numbers looking like?
So far, there's 34 votes. So 61% saying the Rosary, Cale, which is pretty high, and then 14% DMC. 17% both, and then 5.9% other.
Oh, wow. DMC, that's what the cool kids are calling the Divine Mercy Chaplet now, huh? DMC.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, I'm really curious to know what the other category is, so maybe leave that in the comments below the poll in the replies. If you're not praying the Rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet or both, what are you doing? I'd love to hear that. So go to that Twitter poll, and you can find it at the show account at Cale Clark Show on Twitter, and check it out. We'll be continuing to monitor that throughout the day and give you updates on the stats. You can also email the show, cale@relevantradio.com is the way to get a hold of us through that medium. And the medium is the message. That is certainly true when it comes to the Rosary. And you know what? It's not every day that the Rosary is front page news. It was certainly front page news on the day when the miracle of the sun happened at Fatima in Portugal, of course. And Our Lady of Fatima certainly had highly recommended, to put it mildly, the praying of the Rosary. And of course, the Fatima prayer is prayed now by most people at the end of each decade. And the miracle of the sun, which took place, of course, in 1917, on October the 13th, and we're coming up to the anniversary of that date. But, you know, some estimates range as high as over 100,000 people saw this live. It certainly made the front page of newspapers all across Europe. It was quite an interesting event, to say the least, a manifestation of the power of God right there. And, you know, it's just so amazing. We're going to talk about that later on as we get closer to the anniversary of that date on Relevant Radio. But that was one time when the Rosary really made big headlines. Another time was back in 2002, what, 18 years ago. And this was back when St. John Paul II promulgated a year of the Rosary. And that was to take place from October 2002 to October 2003. It feels like just yesterday to me. Am I the only one? Man, it is just, time is flying by. And of course, that's when he also released his apostolic letter, The Rosary of the Virgin Mary. And its Latin title, the official title, is Rosarium Virginis Mariae. And he put that out on October the 16th, 2002. The very next day, in the USA Today newspaper, and you know, USA Today is known for its like flashy and catchy graphics, they actually had an interesting article about the Rosary. And why it got into the papers that day wasn't so much because the Pope had released this letter about the Rosary, that wasn't necessarily newsworthy in their eyes, but what really did catch their attention was that in that letter from the Pope, he of course promulgated or instituted or suggested, you know, he didn't exactly say everyone has to do this, but he did say, listen, I want to propose these new mysteries of light. We know them as the luminous mysteries. And this really has to do with the public life of Jesus. It was really a chunk of his life and ministry that was missing from the rosary, from the mysteries of the rosary. And USA Today found this very, very interesting. And they published this big graphic, you know, how to pray the rosary, what prayer do you say on each bead. They had a diagram and everything. So, you know, that was really cool. It really got a lot of people's attention. And why did Pope John Paul II release this letter at the time? And I think his reasons for doing so actually are pretty valid even today. And really, and again, this is like really the first time that any major changes were proposed to the rosary since back in the 16th century. Back in the 16th century, that was the last time it was really kind of touched in any way. And in that letter, in the Rosary of the Virgin Mary, St. John Paul II said that he saw three crises that were happening in the world and in the church, and he wanted to respond to those crises with this letter. The first one was a crisis of the rosary itself within the church. A crisis of the rosary itself. Now, by that he meant that he thought it was being kind of relegated to the back burner to a certain extent. It wasn't really being passed on to the next generation. He actually said, and I quote, "It can risk being wrongly devalued, and therefore no longer taught to the younger generation," end of quote. So it's not as important as other things. That's the way a lot of people were thinking at the time. And there was actually a poll that took place. I was trying to find a more recent poll, but so far I haven't been able to do that. So if you know of any, please call the show, 1-888-914-9149's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. The only poll I could find went back to 2001, which was done by Georgetown University, about how many people were praying the rosary in the United States. And at that time, I don't know if the stats have changed. Hopefully they have changed for the better. But back then, it was pretty lame. Only 27% said that they pray the rosary several times a month. 33% said they prayed it a few times a year. And 39% said they never prayed at all. So this is where our Twitter poll comes in a little handy. If you go to the show account, at Cale Clark Show on Twitter, you'll find our Twitter poll. Do you pray the rosary? Do you pray the chaplet, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, or as Lucas calls it, the DMC? He's one of the cool kids. The DMC, or do you do both? Or do you do something else? Those are your choices. Go to that Twitter poll, and we'll keep you updated on the numbers throughout the show. We do our own poll, for goodness sakes. We don't need Georgetown University. We have Twitter. We can do things on our own now. Anyways, so I do think, though, that a lot of Catholics, especially as we skew to the younger generations, and hopefully I'm still part of that at some level, I do think you don't see as much praying of the rosary as you do among older people. Professor Ted Sri, who teaches at the Augustine Institute in Denver, he says that some of his college students say to him that they actually think that, you know, the rosary is something that you only pray at funeral homes. You know, when you go to a wake, you know, when you go to a viewing at a funeral home, you see a lot of people gathered around and, you know, people are praying the rosary very often. They think that it's only to be prayed in front of dead people. You know, it's like that movie, The Sixth Sense, you know, by the director M. Night Shyamalan, you know, and try as he might, he's never topped that movie since. But remember that famous line from the movie, "I see dead people," you know? Well, I guess some of these kids, they only see the rosary when they see dead people, if you will. It's only at the funeral home. Or maybe they see older folks praying, very pious older people praying the rosary before Mass, maybe after Mass, and sometimes even during the Mass. And I still see this from time to time. And I'm not 100% sure where this comes from. I have a theory. Sometimes you see these, you know, these elderly, very pious babushkas, these grandmothers that are praying. And I often think that, you know, it's probably going back to the days when the Latin Mass was celebrated exclusively in the church. And of course, even though in the Missal, yes, there would be an English translation of the Mass right next to the Latin. A lot of people didn't use them. And people who didn't know Latin, quite frankly, my theory is they got a little bit bored during the Mass and they just prayed the rosary during the Mass as a way of trying to pray rather than being, you know, intimately involved with the liturgy, with one's mind and heart. And that's really what we should be doing, I think. I'm going to, again, say something that might sound unpopular, but I think it's true. I'm not sure Our Lady wants us to pray the rosary during Mass. She definitely wants us to pray the rosary, for sure. But I think she really wants us to be engaged with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's for sure. Now, what JP2 was alluding to, I think, in his document, The Rosary of the Virgin Mary, I think one of the things he was concerned about was that, you know, as there had been more of a focus on the Mass, on, you know, for example, the new English translation of the Mass that was coming up, was kind of in the works, the fact that the Mass was already in the vernacular, the fact that maybe people thought, you know, focusing on the liturgy, it's very, very important. It's absolutely the heart of our faith, Jesus and the Eucharist. A lot of people thought, well, you know what, let's do this to the exclusion of the rosary. And Pope John Paul II said, no, it's got to be a both and. And we Catholics are very good at that, you know, the both and approach. Okay, Mary does not detract us from our Lord. In fact, she points us to Jesus. That's what she says in the Gospel of John, you know, that famous, which is one of the mysteries of light, by the way, that JP2 instituted, the wedding feast at Cana. What did Mary say? She said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever my son Jesus tells you. And that's really what she is all about, getting us to her son so that he can direct our lives and that we can become more like him. And she was the first and greatest disciple of the church. Don't forget, she's the first member of the church. As Cardinal Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI, once said, co-writing a book that was called Mary, the Church at the Source. You know, she is at the origin of the church. She's the first Christian. She's the first person to say yes to God's plan to save the world through Jesus Christ and to be a very important participant in that plan by giving the word flesh, by giving him the very body that he used to redeem the world, the body that he still has today, risen, ascended, and glorified in heaven. Amazing. And she is there too, of course, assumed into heaven, body and soul. Also one of the mysteries of the rosary, the Assumption of Mary. So this is one of, getting back to JP2's call, he said there's a crisis of the rosary within the Catholic Church. And the second thing he said is that there's a crisis of peace in the world, a crisis of peace in the world. And the third thing he said, the third reason for his writing this document was, he said there's a crisis of the family, a crisis of the family in the culture. And that is certainly the case. JP2 coined this very famous phrase called the culture of death. We live in the culture of death. We see this all around us, and it is exemplified, most especially in our time, through the Holocaust of abortion. We also see euthanasia on the rise. We see this culture of death that is all around us, and he called us to build the civilization of love. He called it the civilization of love. And he said it's not a utopia. This isn't a pipe dream. This is something that can be done. God wills it, and it will happen. The culture of death is going to kill itself in the end. It has no future because it can't produce life. Something is going to take its place. And he said, you know, we need to look forward to a bright springtime of evangelization and the building of the civilization of love. And this is what it's all about. And I think a key to that is the theology of the body, because he knew that, you know, marriage and the family were under attack. We see this all around us. The heart of marriage, of course, is that one flesh union between husband and wife. And there's so many counterfeits of that in the culture. This is why he was so big on the theology of the body. I think theology of the body is so important in building this civilization of love. The body is also important in the rosary, and we'll see a little bit later on that, you know, we look at the history of the rosary and how it all came about. It had to do with the reality of the body and why the incarnation is so important to us, that God himself took on a body. Our life in the body really matters to God. So those are the three crises that caused him to write that letter about the rosary. A crisis of the rosary in the church, a crisis of peace in the world, and a crisis of the family itself, which is, of course, the building block or the cell of the culture. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Call us 1-888-914-9149. Go to the Twitter poll on our show account at Cale Clark Show. Tell us, do you pray the rosary? Do you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet? Do you pray both? Do you pray something else instead? So let me just talk a little bit about the crisis in the world that he saw. And of course, when he was writing this letter back in 2002, it was, you know, the world was just recovering from the shocks of the terrorist attacks on September the 11th, 2001. And, you know, that was the sort of crisis of the moment. But the world is always in crisis. That's one thing that Father Rocky reminds us of in his new book, Voting Your Conscience. And if you read that book, and you can download a free copy at relevantradio.com/vote, and I encourage you to do that. It's a great read. It's great spiritual reading. It'll really help you when you go to the polls. He talks about this. He said, actually, in his book, Father Rocky, exactly the same thing, interestingly enough, that JP2 said in his letter about the rosary. And here's what John Paul said. He said, and I quote, "The grave challenges confronting the world at the start of this new millennium lead us to think that only an intervention from on high is capable of guiding the hearts of those living in situations of conflict and those governing the destinies of nations. Only that can give reason to hope for a brighter future." And actually, it's interesting because Father Rocky said the exact same thing when he was talking about abortion in the culture. He said, really, like, I mean, it's so entrenched that we need an intervention from on high. And how can we bring about such an intervention? By praying. That's why we're doing the 54-day Rosary Novena. And that's why we need to pray the Rosary. We're going to be back with much more on this. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I'm trying to scarf down my dinner as I'm doing the show. I probably shouldn't reveal that. I'm glad there isn't a live video component to the show. But hey, it's dinner time for a lot of you. It is, of course, the supper time hour on the East Coast. Maybe you're listening in the afternoon out on the West Coast. I know we have a lot of listeners out there out on the left coast, out in the Los Angeles area in California. And I know that you Angelinos are probably really happy for basketball fans, as my man Patrick Alog is, who screens calls for us. He's a huge Laker fan, so he's in a very, very good mood. I can't see him, but I can almost feel him smiling through your radio waves, because the Lakers are only one win away from the championship. I thought the Heat really blew it last night. Just poor execution. And man, got a wide open layup. Why are you throwing it out to the 3-point line all the time? Anyways, we'll deal with basketball strategy on another program. But we're talking about the Rosary because guess what? It's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. It is October the 7th. And of course, this month is dedicated to the praying of the Rosary in October. So it's a great way to get back in touch with this devotion, if you've somehow lost touch with it, or maybe you were never taught it before, maybe you're just thinking about praying the rosary for the first time, I encourage you to go for it. Maybe you struggle with it. Hey, you're in good company. Just a few days ago on the feast of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, we talked about how that saint freely admitted, she was very honest, she talked about times when she experienced dryness in prayer, and she felt like Jesus wasn't saying much back to her, as she put it, in her words. And she, you know, the rosary, as much as she loved Our Lady, it wasn't her favorite devotion. Like, she really struggled with it from time to time. And sometimes we do too. I know I have. There are seasons when, you know, I'm just on a roll with it and I just love it. I certainly try to pray it every day. But there are other times when it's a battle. It's a battle. And I think it's true of prayer in general. The Catechism even says that, for goodness sakes. The Catechism says, you know, if you read the Catechism, the section on prayer, it says that prayer is a battle. It starts off with that. And that's true. So when you feel yourself, you know, maybe falling asleep when you're praying the rosary, if that's ever happened to you, or you're not paying attention, you're thinking about, you know, the pizza that you're going to order, you know, after you listen to this show, or I've got that bill I need to pay, or what about that conversation I had with my spouse this morning? It didn't go so well. So many things are on our minds all the time. You know, don't worry about that. You know, if you, Our Lady really, really appreciates the effort. That's one thing that St. Therese used to say. The fact that we have goodwill and we try to pray it to the best of our ability is really pleasing to Our Lady. She likes it. She really likes it. That's one of the reasons why we try to pray it, even if it's not our favorite way of praying, so to speak. I once heard a story about these kids who were being driven to a retreat. These are high school boys, and they were encouraged to pray the rosary in the car trip on the way to the retreat house. They were being driven there by a priest, and he tells the story that these kids, you know, one kid is like, "Oh, let's pray the rosary," and then this other guy was like, "I don't really want to, man. Why should we have to do this?" And the first kid kind of gave him a little shot in the arm, kind of punched him in the shoulder and said, "Because she likes it, that's why. She likes it." And that's true. She does like it. She likes it. And just like we love hearing those words, "I love you," you know, from our spouse or from our parents or, you know, those things really, really matter. And Our Lady likes to hear those words, those loving words that we speak to her, whether we're speaking to her, sort of just talking to her as a friend, as a spiritual mom, which she is, of course, to us, and also through the words of the rosary, which are really, really important. They are the words of sacred scripture. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes. We're going to try to also show you how you can pray the rosary better, how we can do a better job of praying, how we can maybe make it a better experience for ourselves even. We're going to share some tips on that in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to just read to you from St. John Paul II's letter on the Rosary of the Virgin Mary, which is so, so sublime. And I encourage you to read it. You can download it for free from the Vatican website. Just Google it. It's there for the taking. And hey, freely we have received, freely we give, as the gospel commands us to do. And I just want to read this little section about what we're trying to do when we pray the rosary. And really what we're trying to do is to contemplate the face of Jesus Christ with his mother, Mary. And here's a quote from the it's not an encyclical, it's an apostolic letter from JP II. He writes, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun." Matthew 17, verse 2. The gospel scene of Christ's transfiguration, in which the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, appear entranced by the beauty of the Redeemer, can be seen as an icon of Christian contemplation. To look upon the face of Christ, to recognize its mystery amid the daily events and the sufferings of human life, and then to grasp the divine splendor definitively revealed in the risen Lord, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. This is the task of every follower of Christ, and therefore the task of each one of us. In contemplating Christ's face, we become open to receiving the mystery of Trinitarian life, experiencing ever anew the love of the Father, and delighting in the joy of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul's words can then be applied to us. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The contemplation of Christ has an incomparable model in Mary. In a unique way, the face of the Son of God belongs to Mary. It was in her womb that Christ was formed, receiving from her a human resemblance, which points to an even greater spiritual closeness. That's such a great line from the Pope, from Pope St. John Paul II. He reminds us that Jesus got 100% of his human nature that he used to redeem us on the cross, that that he, you know, the eyes with which he looked at people with so much love. Really, you know, he probably looked a lot like his mother, right? He not only received from her a human resemblance, but an even greater spiritual closeness. That's such a good line. And he goes on, no one has ever devoted himself to the contemplation of the face of Christ as faithfully as Mary. The eyes of her heart already turned to him at the Annunciation when she conceived him by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the months that followed, she began to sense his presence and to picture his features. When at last she gave birth to him in Bethlehem, her eyes were able to gaze tenderly on the face of her son as she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Thereafter, Mary's gaze, ever filled with adoration and wonder, would never leave him. At times, it would be a questioning look, as in the episode of the finding in the temple. Son, why have you treated us so? It would always be a penetrating gaze, one capable of deeply understanding Jesus, even to the point of perceiving his hidden feelings and anticipating his decisions, as at Cana. John chapter 2, verse 5. At other times, it would be a look of sorrow, especially beneath the cross, where her vision would still be that of a mother giving birth. For Mary not only shared the passion and death of her son, she also received the new son given to her in the beloved disciple. On the morning of Easter, hers would be a gaze radiant with the joy of the resurrection. And finally, on the day of Pentecost, a gaze of fire with the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, those are beautiful words from Pope St. John Paul II on how we can really think about contemplating the face of Christ with Mary when we pray the rosary. And he talks about how Mary's memories, you know how she, as the gospel tells us, kept all these things, pondering them in her heart back in Luke chapter 2. The Pope says that, you know, as she was kind of recalling and reflecting and meditating on the life of her son as it was playing out before her eyes, that was kind of her rosary, right? She didn't have rosary beads necessarily, right? Obviously, she wouldn't have. But her rosary was contemplating the mysteries of her son's life. And as, you know, those mental snapshots of things that he did, things that he said, her experiences with him, that was her kind of living rosary. And that is something that we can really draw on when we try to pray what he calls the soul of the rosary, which are the mysteries of the rosary. And this is what I want to get into right now. We've got to talk about how to pray the rosary a little bit better, because we all can certainly improve in that regard. And here's what he says. And this is a little quote from JP2 from his letter, The Rosary of the Virgin Mary. He says, the rosary, precisely because it starts with Mary's own experience, is an exquisitely contemplative prayer. So just remember that word, contemplative, because it's going to come up time and time again. He says, without this contemplative dimension, it would lose its meaning. As Pope Paul VI clearly pointed out, and he's going to quote something from his predecessor, Pope Paul VI, who also wrote a document about Mary. And this is a really profound statement. So listen to this. This is what Pope Paul VI said, wow, the sixth sense, I guess, of Pope Paul VI. He said, without contemplation, the rosary is a body without a soul. Interesting. Without contemplation, the rosary is a body without a soul. What is the body of the rosary? The body of the rosary is, of course, the beads, one could say, the physical beads that we that flow through our hands as we pray the rosary, the words that make up the prayers of the rosary, the creed, of course, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, the Glory Bees. Those are really what makes the body of the rosary. But the soul of the rosary is our contemplation that's going on in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, as we are trying to really pray. And the Pope goes on, he says, without contemplation, the rosary is a body without a soul, and its recitation runs the risk of becoming a mechanical repetition of formulas in violation of the admonition of Christ. Remember when Jesus said, in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Now, this is really interesting because as Catholics, we are often accused when we pray the rosary of breaking the admonition of Christ, the instruction of Jesus Christ, when he says, don't heap up empty phrases when you pray like the Gentiles do. This comes from, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like the pagans. They think that by heaping up all these words, these empty phrases, as he calls them, they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Obviously, pagans, when they pray to their Gentiles, when they pray to their gods, sometimes they thought that, you know, just simply having the right words, having the right formula, if I only have the right turn of phrase, my God is going to hear me. Or if I just simply inundate him with a deluge of requests and words, the more the merrier, it's the volume that matters, you know. No, the true God hears you the first time. So we're often concerned that we're doing this when we pray the rosary, and oftentimes non-Catholic Christians want to accuse us of this, being in violation of Jesus' words. Don't pray like the Gentiles. Don't heap up empty phrases. Well, I kind of answered this question earlier today on our sister program, The Faith Explained, and you can definitely go and download that or stream that from the Relevant Radio app later on after this show, because I do answer a lot of the common questions that we get about Mary. Do we worship Mary? No, we don't. Is the rosary a prayer that, you know, keeps us apart from Christ? No, it's actually a Christ-centered prayer. And I dealt with this question too, but I just want to reiterate what I said earlier today on that show, because it's so important for what we're doing here. When we talk about the rosary, these are not empty phrases. Why? Because they consist of the words of Scripture itself. No one would say, no Christian would say, Catholic or non-Catholic, that the words of the Bible are empty phrases. And when you look at the Our Father, obviously this is a prayer that's in the Scriptures. It was given to us by Jesus. Those aren't empty phrases. The Hail Mary, guess what? It's a scriptural prayer. The first part of the Hail Mary, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That comes from Luke chapter 1. This is how the Archangel Gabriel greeted Mary at the Annunciation. Hail, full of grace. Now, of course, we insert the proper name Mary in there, but the text actually says, hail, full of grace. In Greek, it's the word kakaratomene, which means one who has been made full of God's grace. It's the only time in all of salvation history that an angel greets a person by their title, not by their proper name. Hail, full of grace. You know, you who are full of God's grace. And really, we see here the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. From the very first moment of her existence, of her conception, she was free from the stain of original sin, full of God's grace, no room for sin. It's a past perfect in Greek, kakaratomene. It means that an action was performed in the past perfectly that carries on as far as the eye can see out into the future and even beyond that. One who has been made full of God's grace. And then the second part comes from Elizabeth's greeting, the relative of Mary at the visitation account. When she's pregnant with our Lord and she visits Elizabeth, who of course is pregnant with John the Baptist, and she says, wow, this is incredible. The mother of the Messiah is coming to see me. I'm not really worthy of this honor. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And those, of course, are the words of Elizabeth. They're also the words of sacred scripture, which means that they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. So they're not empty phrases at all. They're not empty phrases at all. Now, of course, we add in Jesus after that. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And if you look at the prayer, Jesus is the center of the prayer, the very center of the prayer. Okay, and then the second half of the Hail Mary, obviously it's a request, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. But the middle of the prayer is Jesus. So it is a Christ-centered prayer. And John Paul II is very, very strong on this in his letter. It is Christocentric. The rosary itself is Christocentric. Mary leads us to Christ. Now, it's certainly Marian spirituality focused, for sure. It's a Marian prayer, but it's centered on Christ. So there are different spiritualities in the church, and a Marian spirituality doesn't mean it's an anti-Christian spirituality, because it is focused on Jesus. So we've got to remember that when we pray. So much to talk about when it comes to the rosary. But we're going to take a quick break in just a second. But before I do that, I just want to tell you that, again, JP2 was quoting his predecessor, Pope Paul VI, and he said, without contemplation, the rosary is a body without a soul. And the soul is really contemplation. The body is the beads. The body is the prayers that we're saying. But we can't. It is possible to go through it in a mechanistic manner, mechanical repetition, as the Pope puts it. Okay, it can become empty phrases if we're not careful, because we've got to add in that contemplative aspect. That's the soul of the rosary. So we're going to show you how you can make your rosary, your daily rosary, maybe even the one you're going to pray tonight, more contemplative and really fire up your soul as you pray it. We'll be back on the Cale Clark Show right after this really, really quick break.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back. By the way, as we went to break, you probably heard the voice of St. John Paul II, and that was a recording of his praying of the rosary, and he was singing the Salve afterwards. That's what you heard as we went to break. Hey, Lucas, producer Lucas Holt, what's going on with the Twitter poll right now that we're running?
Yeah, so right now we've got 83 votes, 56% saying the rosary, 12% saying the DMC or Divine Mercy Chaplet, 25% say both, and then 6% say other. And we got some interesting responses. So Lori is saying that she also likes to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is cool. Amanda says that her family also prays the Memorare and the St. Joseph prayer after the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then, I like this comment, Kale. Steve says, I hope that this conversation produces a Pray DMC t-shirt and bumper sticker. And Steve, I agree with you.
A Pray DMC t-shirt and bumper sticker. You know, that we need some swag for this show. I don't even have, like, my father was asking me, like, do you have any Relevant Radio gear? And I said, Dad, I don't even have a Relevant Radio coffee mug or anything. You know, they need to get on that. They need to send me something here.
We'll sell the Pray DMC t-shirt with the Cale Clark Show soundtrack theme songs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. You know, if you order a CD, we'll send you a free t-shirt. And was it Run DMC who did a collaboration with Aerosmith on the song Walk This Way?
Okay, Patrick Ehrlich is shaking his head yes to me. So I
yes,
think that's
okay. You know, I don't know. Maybe we could work that into a tagline or something. You know, we're trying to follow Jesus, walk this way. Walk this way, talk this way. I don't know. Might not work. Okay, I tried. All right, well, listen, let's get back to what we're talking about. We're talking about the rosary. And if you want to give us a call on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. This is a number to call. I'm curious as to who taught you how to pray the rosary. Where did you learn it from? Did you learn it from your parents, from your grandmother, from a Catholic school teacher? Who knows? Are you self-taught? You know, where did you pick up the rosary for the first time? And have you had any success in spreading this devotion, in teaching someone else how to pray the rosary? Because again, this is one of the things that Pope John Paul II was super concerned about. And that's why he wrote this this letter back in 2002 called The Rosary of the Virgin Mary. And it's still so fresh, even today, so fresh and so clean. You've got to read it. You've definitely got to download it and read it. And one of the things that he says, one of the topics that he talks about, is how to recover the soul of the rosary. And by that, the contemplation of the mysteries. And he added this new set of mysteries, which he called the luminous mysteries, the mysteries of light. And that was really about the public ministry of Christ. And I thought that was so brilliant because it really did fill a big gap in the mysteries of the rosary. There's nothing about Christ's public life up until his passion and death. But there was stuff going on, obviously, before that. And who knows, maybe we need another set of mysteries about his hidden life, because that is really important too. There's so we could make all kinds of different mysteries from the Gospels and from the life of Our Lady and our Lord. And Dr. Ted Sri, I referenced him before, he wrote an interesting book about the new mysteries of the Rosary, which were new at the time, way back when in 2002. And they're still pretty new in the grand sweep of history. He talked about some ways that we could use the Pope's insights in his apostolic letter to improve our praying of the mysteries, recovering the soul of the Rosary. And one of the things that we can do is to, he says, first of all, before we pray each set of mysteries, to announce every mystery beforehand and try to visualize. Before we pray the decade, try to visualize the scene, if you will. That's a really, really good thing to do, not to kind of rush through it, but to take your time and to use your imagination, which is given to us by God, by the way, to help us, as St. Ignatius of Loyola tried to do, tried to, in his Ignatian spirituality, and Father Ed Broom's been on the show, he's talked about this before, to try to put yourself in the gospel scene. It's a good way to read the scriptures. It's also a good way to pray the rosary, the mysteries of the rosary. Almost put yourself in there as another character. Imagine yourself, if you will, if you're praying the Annunciation, what would it have been like to be watching Mary's face, you know, as Gabriel appears to her. Maybe she's doing some housework. Maybe she's praying. All of a sudden, this powerful archangel appears to her. What is her reaction? And then we listen to those words, you know, be not afraid. And the good news that she's going to become the mother of the Messiah. So imagine being in that scene. That's a really, really good thing to do, to try to visualize it. Another thing that we can do is to try to listen to the Word of God, to read from sacred scripture at the beginning of each decade. And maybe you've seen a scriptural rosary. There are lots of scriptural rosaries that are out there. I'm sure you can find them on the internet. There's been books written about this where it takes the lines of scripture from, let's say, the Annunciation. Let's take that mystery, for example. And between each Hail Mary, there'll be a line of scripture relating to that that mystery. And by the way, when we Catholics use the word mystery, we don't mean it's an unsolvable riddle like, you know, an Agatha Christie or Sherlock Holmes or CSI type situation. A mystery is a truth of the faith that's been revealed to us by God, but it's so deep, we'll never get to the bottom of it. And that's why it's a mystery. And these are where God, these are the situations where God communicates his plan to the world. And so you can use scripture. You can read scripture about the scriptural accounts of these mysteries. And that can help you if you read that scripture of the Annunciation from Luke chapter 1 before you pray that decade. That can really help. Because the Word of God is living and active, as the book of Hebrews tells us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So listening to the Word of God can really help us before we pray these mysteries. And also, again, using your imagination, putting yourself in the scene, trying to contemplate it in your mind. As John Paul II said, when Jesus became human and dwelt among us, God freely chose to make himself manifest in the world in a way that appeals to our senses. God wanted to take on human features, and he says it's through his bodily reality that we are led into contact with the mystery of his divinity. So really, Jesus' body makes the invisible God visible, and it plays so much into the theology of the body. So we're going to go to the phones right now. We got a great call. Carl is calling from Illinois. Welcome to the show, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kale. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
Great.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, I mean, it's an awesome feast day today, you know, with Our Lady of the Rosary. And like you were saying, like, who kind of got me into saying the Rosary, and I have to say, you know, it was my parents, but especially my dad. And I think it's so important that we have these strong male influences. And just to give kind of an anecdote, generally from my life, is I come from a big Italian family, and I have just these very distinct memories that have just always been with me, and I want to pass on to my own son. You know, I have three sons now.
Wow.
And so please have prayer for my wife. A lot of sometimes. Great. But you know, I mean, you know, we grew up on the south side of Chicago, and my family was very much involved in the world apostle of the Fatima, if anyone's familiar with the Blue Army. And one of my uncles was the custodian for the Statue of Our Lady. And I remember at birthday parties, I mean, we'd always get together, second cousins, everything, you know, all my aunts and uncles and whatnot. And I just have memories of being there, you know, whoever's house it was at, just praying the family rosary with literally 60, 70 people, you know, maybe right after we eat dinner, before we, you know, sing happy birthday and whatnot. But just to see the example of my male cousins, my uncles, my dad, my grandfather praying. And this prayer is specifically to Our Lady. And I think it's just so important that, especially if any fathers are listening right now, to be able to give that example to your son, because I mean, to your son and your daughters, but especially because I can remember when my dad would pray privately on his own. I mean, you know, just walking in, you know, seeing him pray, and it was just this prayer that our Lord has given us is so powerful. I just think men need to be able to utilize that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you so much for that call, Carl. That was a tongue twister there, call, Carl. Anyways, Carl, thank you for that. And yeah, learning the rosary from one's dad, I think, is really powerful, especially for guys, because it is a manly prayer. Yes, we do know that Our Lady is at the heart of it, along with our Lord, but real men pray the rosary, you know. We got to make up a t-shirt with that catchphrase on it, Lucas. Real men pray the rosary. And I think that's really powerful to hear that you heard it from your dad. You're trying to teach this to your sons. We need more of that. And we're so thrilled to have John Scott, former NHL hockey player, All-Star MVP, on the show recently. And he talked about the battle that we face as Catholic men. So you're definitely going to want to dip into the archives, Carl, if you haven't heard that episode, on the Relevant Radio app, and hear the episode with John Scott, because that was really powerful. We got a lot of feedback, especially from men, about that show. It was really good. We got just a couple minutes left on the show. We're going to try to go really quickly to David calling from California. David, we've got only about 1 minute. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm on a state evangelization team, and we use the rosary. And when I talk to people about the rosary, what I tell them is, it is the prayer designed for people with a wandering mind. Going forward, well, everybody has a wandering mind. And what I tell them is that when you say these mysteries, you'll, as you pray through the decade, you're going to start thinking of different things. If you track back your thoughts to why you're thinking of one thing, what made me think of that, you'll eventually come back to the mystery. So the mystery is actually directing your thoughts. It's a way of God inviting God into your heart to direct your thoughts. So that's what I wanted to share.
Oh, thank you, David. That's a really great call. Appreciate that. David calling from California, where he's listening to the program. Yeah, this is the thing, and this is really the last point that I wanted to make, is that silence is really important, too, in terms of aiding our contemplation. We've got to put ourselves in the scene. We've got to use our imagination in a good way, try to keep our mind from wandering, and the rosary does help us with that. That's where the beads help us, too. We don't have to really count if we're using a physical rosary, and count, you know, the beads are doing it for us. That's freeing up our mind on one level, but trying to keep silence, like Cardinal Seurat said in his book, The Power of Silence, silence is the gatekeeper of the interior life. St. Jose Maria said that as well. So important. And trying to just focus on our Lord, on Our Lady, and they will help us too. Thanks for listening. It's been a great show. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.